hundred to here, and didn't realize that we were behind time. Got a lot I want to cover this morning, so let's get together here. Not that we need more for singing, but just wish we had more to enjoy some time in singing, because it's so wonderful to spend that time, and a lot of believers are together to sing, but we just have to have it in our souls. So let's first of all begin with something that we all can do together, and that is to be in prayer. be in prayer in regard to what we're here for, what we're here about, and what our lives are about, what our marriages are about, our homes. Just to orient to how important life is. I'm old enough now to know the value of time, the days, and not really sure what the future holds. There's so much in turmoil around the world today. It's sort of interesting to me that the United States of America has prepared itself for all kinds of big war type of power from space and all of our nuclear power. And here we are fighting the way we did 1,000 years ago, hunting down people in caves and making land assaults and with men and hardly even using the massive power at our disposal. And that's so indicative of the way Satan does. You just never get ahead of him. He's always plotting, scheming as to what he's going to do and keeping us off guard. And when you think you've got something figured out, kapow, the adversary is going to try to knock you off balance and get you to get us to stop walking by faith. So let's begin with a word of prayer, and again, just orient ourselves to why we are here and what really is important in life, as important as Jeff and Debbie and Paul, as important as A&M is, the loss yesterday. We just have to recover, and we have to put everything in its perspective and enjoyment of life. So let's begin with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, in the extremely busy world that we live in today, where we want everything done and done now, the not only mass communication, but immediate communication, not only mass correspondence, but immediate correspondence, news is brought to us, Heavenly Father, while it actually is happening, giving little to no time to reflect. We live in a world that is so advanced. And it just seems, Heavenly Father, that every day it just gets faster and faster. And yet, the soul of man is the same that it has been since the beginning of man for thousands of years. Our souls still have the same needs in spite of the time in which we live. Father, we are so grateful that in a constantly changing world, you are an unchanging God, that we can always come to you. You're the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And while we ourselves are changing, you are constant. While we, Heavenly Father, handle and go into different things every day, we have the same position to go to for help. We have, Heavenly Father, so many disappointments in our society today. They're so fast. They're so overwhelming sometimes. But man's soul has had these even when it was at a snail's pace. And the solution has always been the same. trusting you and your son, your spirit. That has never changed. Just Heavenly Father, man is now so fast, he doesn't have time for you. We do not have time to worship you in assembly. And if we do, it's get in and get out. We do not have time to meditate, to pray, to read scripture with our children, to teach them. We're just so fast, so busy. Too busy for what really is important. Pray, Father, that this morning your Spirit will open our eyes to the things that are important, the relationships that are important, the family, friends, the local assembly, other believers. We hurt each other, we disappoint each other, we let each other down. But that's why your love is long-suffering. That's why you have given to us such a powerful thing in spiritual love. It's all there, Heavenly Father, if we'll just use it every day. Indeed, every hour. We praise you, Father, for the God that you are. We pray that all that we do this morning will be praiseworthy. In Christ's name, amen. I just set this up here. I won't be running up and down, preaching and screaming. Those of you who don't know, Billy Sunday, church history is really a phenomenon. American church history has its players and its characters in the whole flow. Billy Sunday, if you've never heard of Billy Sunday, he used to be we'll call him a great in the sense of widespread and seemingly wonderful results, an evangelist in the first half of this century. And he wanted to be a professional baseball player, and I think he was for a short time. I'm not sure on that, but I know he wanted to be a professional baseball player. What Billy Sunday would do at his revivals is he'd have this big stage. And what he would do is start over here, and he would run, and he would slide. And he said, and that's where some of y'all are going to get into the kingdom of heaven. You're going to slide into the kingdom of heaven. And then he'd get up and start preaching, and it was quite a show. And people came to see Billy Sunday slide into heaven. We were just so busy to even have the assembly and to do the things. And there's so much battling going on such frivolous things. Never have I understood the passage that deals with quit battling over frivolous words and making such issues that and depth of things. When the message is so simple. People, our message is so simple. It is not complex. It is not difficult. A child can understand how to be saved and how to live. Just trust the one who sent. It's that simple. Not that easy, but that simple to just trust him. The solution is very simple. And this week, Thursday, Friday, I will be teaching in Hot Springs, Arkansas. It's been a little while since I've been up there, and it's always nice to be wanted, and several of the people have really put pressure, a great desire that we spend a lot of time, more time in the study. I'm not sure what I'm going to study with them at this point, so please be in prayer in regard to that. But I'll be teaching in Hot Springs Thursday and Friday evening. And so be in prayer in regard to travel and voice and different things, but mostly for them, those that will be there. So just see what God does in that respect. Continue to be in prayer for one another, for each other, those that are walking by faith in the Spirit, that we can continue to go in the midst of suffering, adversities, the things that we're studying that occur in life, the disappointments that occur in life, and fulfill our purpose and our objectives as far as being here on earth is concerned. The Word of God declares, whatsoever man purpose in his soul to give, so let him give, not grudgingly nor of necessity, for God loveth a gracious giver. Giving is a worship. Giving is an opportunity for the believer to express faith in the sense that we take that which is related to the material and we say, no, I'm going to invest this in the future, in eternity, in the invisible. that which is transparent, that which is not seeable as far as my life is concerned, but more real than the things that I see. So it's a great manifestation of faith. Let's prepare ourselves for the offertory of that prayer. Heavenly Father, what a privilege it is to be a part of the body of Christ at the time in which we live. Heavenly Father, we give such great praise and thanksgiving that you use such a humble assembly in the ways that you have, Heavenly Father. And as we go into the new year, we pray, Father, that you will continue to use this assembly, that we'll be one of those silent factors, Father, that you do use, a silent vessel, that there is no fanfare, but that you use us to spread the gospel to both unbeliever and believer. Father, we pray that we will always make ourselves available to you in this respect, that you can do this. Father, we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Paul, will you have some? What a shame to have a man of such talent, and we just, well, let's sing. I don't care if it's just you and I. Let's sing. Good grief. Man sitting over there with that kind of talent, we need to exploit it. Let's see. Anybody got one in one? Holler it out. Did y'all hear the story about a preacher that did make a mistake and did that one day? Got up and said, whoever gives the most money this morning can pick out the three hymns that they want. And so it started off, and somebody gave some money, and that's good. And I gave more money and said, okay, Mrs. RB gave the most money this morning, and she's back here in the back row. And we'd like you to stand up, Miss Bickerson, and tell us what three hymns you would like this morning. And this elder lady, about 89, stood up, and she said, I want him, and I want him, and I want him. Not what the preacher had in mind. Gotta be careful when you have what him you want. Okay. Let's see. I don't know what we did on communion, but let's do 448. Right, opened up to it, so... Tom, how are you doing this morning? Good. 448. Because he lives. And because he lives, you and I can just face everything that comes our way. Let's stand and sing all three verses. You see it? Thank you, Wes. Beautiful. I had no intention when we started into John chapter 6 to spend the number of Sundays that we have in our study on testing, adversity, suffering. I'm a little taken with it because I really did not plan on this. However, even this morning, this very morning, the phone rang and picked it up, and some friends in way stayed very far away just for going on and on in regard to just the last few Sundays of teaching. We had jumped ahead and we're listening to the study on that we've been doing on testing and adversity, and just the things that they said is such an encouragement. I know that it's needed. I know that we all go through various adversities. This is part of what brings about the stress, anxiety, and depression that comes into our life. We bring a lot of it on ourselves in the fast world that we live in. We're just so busy doing so much and take very little time to sit down and to pray and to communicate with those that are very important to us concerning spiritual matters, concerning the Lord. And life can get very hectic. And a lot of people in America today are parts of broken homes and hurt dreams and disappointments and just a lot of things going on in their life and how to deal with all of these. And everybody picks their own way. And as I told you so many times, people, unbelievers, believers with no relationship with the Lord, they make it. And that's not the point, though, making it. It's not, that's why a lot of people won't come to him, because they're making it. They don't need him. They're doing okay. Their philosophy, their ideology, the way that they think about God or that being up there, whatever it is that they do. But I want so much for you to understand, it is not just about making it through life. It's about glorifying God, or allowing God to be glorified in our lives. That is the eternal issue here. That's the eternal aspect. And it's so much fun to talk with somebody who really sees this by the way they talk, what's going on. So this type of study, I know, needs to be done occasionally. And it's been a while since we stopped along this way. And so we'll just take it as far as the Holy Spirit takes us, and see what happens with it. But I do want to get on to the feeding of the 5,000, the 4,000. They're getting hungry. They've been standing there waiting now, and they're hungry, so we got to get them fed. But we will feed ourselves as the Spirit leads us. So let's prepare ourselves for our study this morning, continuing with an understanding of tests and adversity and suffering and things that happen in our life that we have to deal with day in and day out. Let's pray. We're so naive, Heavenly Father, if we do believe that we're going to make it from the cross to heaven without the testing of our faith. We're very naive if we think we're going to make it through life, Heavenly Father, without the opportunities of glorifying you or allowing you to be glorified in our lives under adverse circumstances. We're naive to Satan. We're naive to our own flesh. And we're naive to the cosmic world that we live in if we think these things. But Heavenly Father, you have given us such an arsenal of power that there is no reason that, Heavenly Father, we cannot enjoy each day of our life if we will truly walk in the power of your Spirit. Pray now, Father, that your Spirit will open our eyes to the things that you would have us to see as we look at various passages this morning and what's going on in the Scriptures, Heavenly Father. We pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Okay, now we've been in the midst of studying suffering, adversity, testing, from our study in the Gospel of John, chapter 6, where Philip all of a sudden finds himself smashed right into a test. And that's explicitly what it is called in his life. Now, a few Sundays ago, we started out the momentum of that study being, or that approach to this study, that being with what believers claim. And we noted that a lot of believers claim a great deal of things in their life that is not true. For an example, a great number of believers will claim faith, but it's not the faith that God is looking for. It's not the faith in the member of the Godhead, God the Holy Spirit, the one that God has sent to our in our souls, in our bodies, for sanctification, for leading us, guiding us, giving us wisdom, pouring in all of His fruit. They don't trust Him, but yet they claim faith. Their faith is a faith in what they do, a faith that God will bless what they do, but it's not the faith that God is looking for. There are believers who claim love in 1 John, but they're not. It is not the love that God is looking for, because they hate their brother, they're bitter toward another believer, they're angry toward another believer. Oh, but I love God. No, you don't. The Bible is very clear on this. It's impossible. It's impossible, because if the Spirit is pouring in spiritual love in you, it's not going to... It pushes out, we're seeing this on Wednesday night, it pushes out bitterness, anger, jealousy, all these things. It will not allow to penetrate into your spiritual being. Love envieth not. Love is not jealous. Love is not bitter. Love is not angry. All these things that come into our life, into our souls, love will not permit. So we looked at what people claim when they're going through tests and adversity. Then 2 weeks ago, we started out with the momentum of that study, in your thought process. In other words, your thinking. From Proverbs chapter 23, as a man thinketh, so he is. So what is your thought process as you go through, as you enter into and are in the suffering, in the adversity. And we spend some time in dealing with the thought process and how that is going to guide you in that respect. In other words, you go into it with the idea, I deserve it, or you go into the idea, this is an opportunity for God to glorify. Today, we're going to enter this study of testing, as per our passage before us, with a cry of saints and believers all through history. And what we're going to deal with today is how long? How long? How long is this going to go on? How long am I going to have to suffer like this? How long before something is done about it? How long is this test going to last? People, what we're looking at right now is how the testing or the approval of your faith produces endurance. The whole issue, and when you think of the word endurance, I want you to think of one word, time, duration. For there to be endurance, that is the concept of how long. Now, I want you to appreciate something. I know in your life, it's financial, it's health, it's marriage, it's children or family, it's relationship with someone, it's society itself, back to the kind of touching on the finance, but not making what I need to make or getting what I want or living where I need to be living and all of this kind of thing. All of these things, and we can look at it, and in our mind, we put it into a very personal aspect. But what I want you to begin to realize here is how much this is related to the whole spiritual warfare. Look with me, if you will, at Habakkuk. Now, if you don't know where Habakkuk is, when I was a child growing up in the church, we used to always call it Tabakka. But if you turn to Habakkuk, chapter 1, and Habakkuk is one of what we call the, what is called the minor prophets. Minor, not minor in the, what he's going to talk about, but minor in how many chapters and the brief of it, whereas Isaiah, Jeremiah are called major prophets, and where they have a whole lot to say and a lot of chapters. But Habakkuk is with the minor prophets. And let's look at Habakkuk right where it starts out. Right where it starts out. Now, Habakkuk chapter 1, verse 1, the oracle. People, it's not an oracle, it's a burden. The burden. And that makes better sense. If you'll understand it that way, in fact, if you have the New American Standard, you should have burden in the margin if you don't have it in the main text. The burden, the hurt, which Habakkuk, the prophet, saw. Now, look at his words. How long, O Lord, will I call for help? Now stop right there. People, I know sometimes you probably think, okay, the prophets, they're kind of set apart, and boy, their suffering and their adversity is of just dramatic realm. It's not like my people. That's what Habakkuk's talking about, the things that are going on in his life and in his country. That's what he's talking about. This is the cry of believers all the way through history. How long? This is what endurance is about. When you come into the suffering, you come into the adversity. How long is this going to go on, O Lord? How long before there's some relief here? And I've got a question for you. What if it never ends? What if this is your status for the rest of your life on earth? Will you stop trusting Him? Will you become angry, discouraged, disillusioned? What if how long is for the rest of your life? Oh, people, we can all handle it for 30 minutes. We could all handle it for 30 minutes. But when you wake up every rotten morning, and it's right there. It didn't go away in the darkness of the night. You wake up and the same problem is there. The bills are still sitting on the table. The marriage is still in torment. The divorce is still a reality. The illness is still in your body. How long? When you get to this point where Habakkuk is, you know that God is really now dealing with you. He's got, let me put it this way, he's got your attention now. Now you're crying out to him. You're crying out to him. How many of you passed the hospital coming to church this morning? Didn't you pay any attention to it? How many of us go by the hospital? Oh, I just thought I'd drop by and see y'all today. Hi. When do we go? When we need it. When we've been injured. We run to it. That's where a lot of Christians do God. It's only important when I hurt. And you know what, people? Let me tell you something. That's why sometimes you hurt, because he wants you to pay attention to him. If you're that way, I only really pray to God. I only go to the assembly. I only study Scripture when I'm really hurting. Well, do you realize what you're just saying? If you're, you know, if you're listening from God's ears, okay, if that's the only way I can get your attention, kapow! Because I want you to think about me. People, he wants a relationship with you. He wants an intimacy with you. Why do you think he sent his son to die on a cross? He desires a relationship with us. Why in the world he desires a relationship with me, I have no idea. But he sent his son. And it's the only way he can get your attention. It's the only way he can get you to think of him moment by moment, every hour. If to keep you in that state, then guess what? He's going to do that. He's going to do that. He wants you. He wants you to know you need him, depend on him, and love him through the power of the Spirit. How long, verse 2? How long, O Lord? Now, he doesn't run from the Lord. He goes to the Lord. Same thing with Job. Job went to God complaining. He didn't run from God. He complained to God. Did all the things with God. How long, O Lord, will I call for help? Isn't it interesting? Call for help. Now, I pray every morning. I pray every evening. I pray through the night. And God doesn't hear my prayer. I call. How long will I pray for help? Just help me. And thou wilt not hear. It looks like you're not listening. It looks like you don't care. Because the only way I can calculate, listen to me now, the only way I can calculate that you're listening to me is if the pain goes away. Right? Then I know you're listening. No, people, don't condition God on that. He's listening. How long, O Lord, will I call for help, cry out for help, and you will not listen? I cry to thee, violence, yet thou dost not deliver. You do not deliver me. Now, verse 3 is another word that you'll hear in the agony of your soul. Why? Why? When we get to that real self-pity part, why me? And when we're honest, we'll say, well, why not me? But why me? Why? Why? Why dost thou make me see iniquity and cause me to look on wickedness? Yes, destruction and violence are before me. Strife exists and contention arises. Now, this is the kind of thing we'll be taking a look at, a part of this, in our study of being who you are in Christ, with depression, anxiety, stress. This type of verse right here is what can bring it on. Just get into a point of real stress, real anxiety, real depression, because it just keeps going. How long? How long? How long? I've had enough. I've had enough. That's what happens to a lot of believers. Now look at verse 5. Look among the nations. Observe.
be astonished. This is God speaking. This is God speaking. Wonder, because I am doing something in your day. You would not believe if I even told you. Now, people, this is where faith comes in. Is God doing something in your life? Is God doing something in my life? We wouldn't even believe it if we were told. Why is this happening to me? And how long is this going to go on with me? What God is saying is, I'm doing things you're not even aware of. This is where our faith comes in. Faith coming in, one, let me see how faith is working here. Faith one. Faith, first of all, God is doing things. God is doing things in your life with what is going on in your life that you won't even understand. You may not understand in this lifetime. So we have to trust Him. He's in control. He knows what He's doing. That will lead us to that faith of moment by moment trusting in the Holy Spirit. Moment by moment, walking in faith, experiencing that inner peace and that inner contentment that is of the Holy Spirit. He gets that if we will continue to trust Him. But people, let me help you appreciate something. There is no testing. There is no adversity. There is no suffering in your life. So if God is not doing things you're not even aware of, and you may not be aware of, and you may not even be able to believe if I told you what was going on. I just don't believe that. I don't believe, God, that I'm just that important. I am an unimportant person. I don't make much money. I'm not influential. I can't even get my dog to mind me. I don't get this. I don't get that. I do not believe I'm that important that you're doing all of these great things in my life. I'm not that important. People are saying bad for you. And especially if you are learning and walking in the power of the Spirit, then you don't have a sense of how important that is. But we do reach that point. I can't buy all of this. I'm sorry. I'm just not that important. I can look around the world. I'm just not that important. I'm not important enough for just all to have some big meaning that God is working out things in such a way that I don't even believe if I was told. That's where faith comes in. I know you feel the same thing about this assembly. How important can we be to the grand, plan of all about assemblies? When just a couple of miles from us, there are about, I think the president has about 10,000 seats now. How can this be of any importance to God? Over there is where the battle's got to be. If we think in the human realm, that's where more people are, that's where we're going to deal. If I'm a terrorist and I'm going to bomb, it's going to be New York. I'm not going to go out to Waxahachie, Texas. Who even knows how to pronounce it? I'm not going to blow up anything in Waxahachie. However, not far from it's a nuclear plant, isn't it? But anyway, you get the point. I'm not important enough in Waxahachie. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to move to the mountains of Colorado or Montana, and I'm going to get away from it all. And boy, whatever the terrorists do, they won't bother me because I'm in a place that doesn't matter. That's the way Christians think about their lives. I'm just not that important. Yes, you are. That's why you're experiencing the adversity. And it's designed just for you, to bring you what God wants. So I am doing something in your day you would not believe if you were told. Okay, now, since we're here, let's look at chapter 2. Chapter 2, and we'll just read two verses. Verse 3. For that, this is because of our study and suffering. This is for our study and revelation. And this is for your understanding. For the vision is yet for the appointed time. Appointed time. That's what we're studying in Revelation. It hastens toward the goal. People, God. Get your vision of God correctly. He's got a great plan. And you and I are in this part of it. And if you'll walk by faith, whatever part you're playing, it's going to bring Him glory. It hastens toward the goal. That word hastens doesn't sound like it's hastening, does it? How long, oh Lord? Lord, am I going to have to do this forever? It hastens. It's God's view. To us, it's not going very fast, Lord. Your idea of hastening and my idea, not the same. Because the suffering is just going on and on. This condition is going on and on. It hastens to the goal. And it will not fail. The goal will not fail. What God is doing will not fail. Though it tarries. Ah, there it is. Wait for it. People, that's what faith is right there. That's the point of endurance. That's the endurance. Wait for it. Just wait. God is doing something. For it will certainly come. It will not delay. What we're studying on Tuesday night is going to come. It's not going to delay. It may be in our lifetime. It may be this week. Don't waste your life. Enjoy today. You have no right to waste any day in sadness, in stress, anxiety, depression. Verse 4. Behold, as for that proud one. Okay, now who's that? That's Satan, Lucifer. He's talking to him. It's a powerful book, Habakkuk. If someday we'll have to study Habakkuk. Habakkuk will tell you about the prehistoric battle between God and Satan. It's in Habakkuk. It's a powerful book. His soul is not right within him. That person that comes in and out throughout Scripture, all through Scripture. We study this in Galatians. Remember in Galatians, who has charmed you? That's Satan. It just all through Scripture, he's just spoken about. Without identification. Okay. Behold, as for that proud one, Satan, his soul is not right within him. But the righteous, okay, now watch what it says, will live by his faith. People, there's what, where you and I come into the picture. There's, we're going to live by faith. Now, to learn endurance is to cry, how long? The continuance of the suffering. Now, one thing before I get on to that I've got to point out to you very quickly here, this is not about you. Now, it's going to be hard, be difficult to get into this one, but it's not about you. It's not about me. This is about Jesus Christ. This is about God. When I say this, what am I referring to? What's the antecedent of this? Your life. Your life, my life, the suffering, the testing, the adversity you're going through, it is not about you. Now, that should help. But it's not about you. It's about God. It's about God. It's about Christ. It's about angels. It's about a spiritual warfare, invisible. It's about Him. Let me refresh your memory. It's worth it. Go to Philippians chapter 1. Paul's writing to the letter to the Philippians. Believers of Philippi. Look at Philippians chapter 1. It's a phenomenal book. Philippians chapter 1. We've read this. We're going to read it again. Just so I can orient you. It's not about you. Why me? Why me? How long? Oh, it's not about you. God is doing things in your life. Philippians chapter 1, and let's note verse 27 of Philippians 1. Only conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Walk by faith. So that whether I come and see you or remain absent, I may hear of you that you are standing firm in one spirit, with one mind striving together for the faith of the gospel. In no way alarmed by your opponent. People, we all have opponents in the visible realm and the invisible realm, which is a sign of destruction for them, but a deliverance for you. And that too from God. For to you, it has been graciously granted for the benefit of Christ, not only to believe in Him, but to suffer for His benefit. I just want you to orient, this is not about us. This is about Him. Life is not about you, it is about God. It is about God being glorified in your life. God glorifying Himself in and through you, if you will but trust Him in the midst of the adversity. We have to understand this, believe this, and live this. And when you do, you'll start enjoying your life, no matter what happens in your life. The response that I've gotten, and all I've done is just given little excerpts that we're going to do on the stress, anxiety, and depression, has just been overwhelming to me, almost as much as the study on Revelation. But we get bogged down with all of this when we're oriented to me. People, it's not about you and me. It's about Him. It's what it's about. And since it is about God, now watch this, stay with me. Since it is about God, and God is, what is God? God is Scripture. God is love. Okay. God, are y'all there? Wait. Everybody wait. What, did we have any coffee back there this morning? Okay. Since it is about God, and since God is love, what do you think this is all about then? God's love. That's what it's about. If it's about God, it means your life and the adversity and things that are going on in your life, since it is about God, and since God is love, what this is all about is the love of God. That's what this whole thing to demonstrate in your life, what was demonstrated at the cross. How could suffering, now watch me, say this, how can suffering in my life be a demonstration about God and God's love? What was the cross a demonstration of, and what is the cross? The cross is suffering, is it not? It's not a party. He is beaten. Spit on, accused, betrayed by his own people, his own friends. Other friends deserted him. Hung up in a cross, nailed to a cross, hung on the cross in shame. That's not good. And what's that about? It's about the love of God. Paradox, isn't it? Isn't it? How could that be about love when it's about suffering? It's a paradox. And when you come to the paradoxes in life, it's why we trust Him. It's why faith is the only thing that's going to comprehend and bear this. Why did Christ bear it? Because He trusted the Father. Trusted God. So it's experientially suffering, but it's about the love of God. I don't think there's a one of you that would say the cross is not a demonstration of the love of God. It is. It is a demonstration of the love of God, yet it is suffering. Is my life a demonstration of the love of God when I'm suffering? Is it? Could that possibly be? Can my mind only perceive that my life would be a demonstration of the love of God if everything were going wonderfully? That I can perceive as the love of God. See, that's the thinking of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That's the thinking of law. That's the thinking of man. People, that's why it's called faith. It doesn't make sense. If you go out and sit with them, coffee, dinner, and start talking about this, and you try to argue with them in the realm of human logic how this is love, you're going to lose. You're going to lose the argument. Because you're in the wrong arena of thought. You're in the wrong arena. This doesn't make sense to the logic of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. This doesn't make sense to the law. This doesn't make sense to the thinking of man. Only in our faith can we see this. And that's what gives us power. That's what gives us that power, that love, that contentment. That's what makes us. What did God say? I'm looking for that rare breed. To the woman at the well, I'm looking for that rare breed. We'll walk by this kind of faith. Not by law, not by sight, but in the midst of suffering, adversity, testing, shame, all these things that will happen in my life, this is a demonstration of the love of God. It's going to work that out in my life. I don't know how it's going to work that out in my life, but I believe that with all my heart. And the other day, I'm going to keep trusting Him and walking with Him. Because that's my God. Until I return from Habakkuk, I'd like to go back and read to you, have you read the last of it, because what Habakkuk's going to end up in that book, you know what he's going to end up saying? You don't need to turn that book. He's going to end up saying is, "Your God, I trust you." Oh, people, yeah, we're going to start out with crying how long? And then we're going to get oriented. And that's what I want you to be, oriented. Then you can end up in a prayer of praise. End up in that thanksgiving and that faith. He's bringing it all to His plan that we're seeing in Revelation. He's going to bring it all to that. That's what my life is about. That's where I'm headed in this whole issue. 2 weeks ago, we saw how important entering the test was in regard to your thinking. If you enter into the test, I deserve this, out of guilt and shame and bad decisions. I got news for you. That's how you're going to go through the test, and you're going to be miserable every day. Because you want to be. That's right. I deserve this. I sinned. I made bad decisions. I did wrong. I'm just getting what I deserve. Keep cutting me, God. Keep making me believe, God, that I'm no good. That's your thinking. That's your view of God. That's your thinking. And guess what your day says? Let me describe. I'm going to do that in my church. I'm going to describe your day for you. I'll describe every day for you. Stress, anxiety, and depression. I'm going to describe people for you. No one's going to understand you. I'm going to describe your day for you. Everybody's against you. I'm going to describe your day for you. It's going to be horrible every day. That's stress, anxiety, depression. And I deserve it. Okay? You can do that. That's a privilege. Or you could enter the suffering with this thinking. Here's an opportunity for God to be glorified in my life. And I'm going to give it to Him. I'm going to trust Him. How's He going to do that? I don't know. I don't have to know. I'm going to trust Him. I'm going to trust Him. Parents, children, when I just reached that point, I don't know how you're going to do this, but I've got to come home and tell my parents what happened, and they're going to make it all right. I don't know how they're going to make this all right. But I'm not going to run away, and I'm not going to hide it from my mom and dad, because I know them. And in some miraculous way, my mom and dad are going to make this okay. That's what kind of mom and dad I have. They're not going to like it, I know that, but they're going to make it all right. I know that. Now, if you can vision that, whether you experienced it or not, as a child or a parent, if you can vision that, how much more with God? I don't know how you're going to handle this. I don't know how you're going to turn this to your glory. But you know what? I know you are. And because I know that, I'm going to trust you in this adversity. So we can enter either way. Now let's look at James chapter 1. Oh, the Epistle of James.
difficult book that's not difficult at all once you see what's going on and understand the faith that God wants from us. Okay, James chapter 1. Consider all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various diverse trials. Consider your thinking. And verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, because that considering and knowing, emphasis of the activity of the mind. People, you can wake up in the morning, it's a choice. You can wake up in the morning depressed. You can wake up in the morning with anxiety. You can wake up your morning with stress. Or you can wake up in the morning with the thought process about God and what He's doing in your life. You can wake up with a thought process about Him. And it changes everything as far as your day is concerned. What is it that we know? We know God is working all things to His glory. But look what we have here, knowing something. We have knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Endurance is essential to living our life. Knowing, test, faith, endurance. Endurance is what we're talking about here. Now, verse 3, knowing that the testing, the approval of your faith, and we studied the approval of faith, what that means, trusting the one that He sent, the Holy Spirit, produces endurance. It is the present middle indicative of the word, the Greek word, hupomone. I put it on the board, but I'm going to stir you into some kind of spiritual ecstasy, but it is hupomone, long E, hupomone. This is a prefix. I like the way the Greeks make words and produce words. The Greek hupo plus the mone means to stay, means to abide. This is under, hupo under, means to abide or stay, to persevere, to stand fast under pressure. Now, what is going to stand fast and what is going to abide and what is going to persevere? Your faith. Your faith is going to do what? Stand fast under pressure. Testing, trials, failure, sin, adversity. Whatever happens in your life, your faith is going to persevere. And see, here we've got a clear understanding here. Endurance. We have much to endure. We have much to endure. Consequently, endurance. We have much to endure in life. Therefore, endurance. What is at the heart of endurance? What's at the heart of endurance? People, at the heart of endurance is time. Length. How long? In the duration of adversity, there is the endurance of something. We're going to have the endurance of our faith over this period of time. And to put it in a communication manner, a poetic manner, in scripture, here, some make it through day one. We have a week. And some don't make it through the first day. But some endure their faith to the first day. Others go on to the second day. Then the third, and the fourth. And the fifth. See? It's the duration. And what we want to do is eventually get to where we can go the whole week. This is like forgiving someone seven times in one day. A lot of believers can forgive once. Then a few more believers can forgive twice. And then you're really nailing it down when you get to that fourth and fifth time of forgiving the same person the same sin, same day. Then there are those believers who have that kind of walking in faith that can forgive seven times, the same person seven times in one day of the same offense. That's powerful, people. So here's the endurance. How long? How long? Is it going to be the whole week? Week being my life? Week being a understandable length of time? People, if we do not endure, if we do not continue to trust Him, if we do not go through the suffering with endurance of faith, then we're not going to develop endurance at all. There has to be the endurance of our faith in our lifetime that we mature and that we're transformed into the image of Christ. Being transformed into the image of Christ doesn't happen overnight.
but just in doing. And one day you begin to realize, you know, I'm different. I'm really different than I was 10 years ago. I'm different. Things, the way what goes on in my soul is different. The way I handle disappointments is different. The way I think is different. And you start, these things start happening. You don't see it happening day in and day out. It just, all these things start developing throughout our life. There must be the continuance of faith for this to take place. It is a characteristic of suffering and adversity to do what? What is the characteristic of suffering and adversity? People, the characteristic of it is to do what? Interrupt your faith. To interrupt your faith. To get you to stop. Right here. I've had it. I'm through with church. I'm through with God. If this is God, and if this is the way God is going to treat me, I've had it. I can get this without God. I can be this miserable without God. So I'm through with the whole thing. I got news for you. You never were with Him. That's why you have that thinking. The people, when you continue to walk, that's why I talked about that first day, or in that first day, claim. People, if you are walking in the power of the Spirit, what He's going to do is He's going to start pouring into you. And it's not going to be like an overnight magic, but it's going to be things that start happening in your soul. You're going to start experiencing the fruit of the Holy Spirit, like inner peace, like inner happiness, the flow of spiritual love. These things are going to start taking over in the midst of it, and when it gets heavier and heavier, and you continue to walk in the Spirit, you're going to become more and more aware of what's going on inside your own soul. But it is the characteristic of the suffering and the adversity to interrupt our faith, cause us to stop trusting Him, causing us to stop loving as He loves. This is at the heart of what endurance is about. Will you endure in the continuance of your faith in this test? And that has to be time. You get to look back. After a period of time, you know, I didn't continue trusting Him. I did continue, whatever the case might be. But there has to be a period of time. What a lot of times people, what's a college degree all about? Now, there are exceptions to this. But most of the time, it's not about the degree and what you got it in. A lot of times in life, in business world, the employer, you have a college degree. Yeah. What does that just tell them? That tells them you have the endurance of, you know, traditionally 4 years of education. You were able to endure it. Some kids drop out the first year for various reasons. Sometimes not their fault, but I'm just making a point. Others, by the sophomore year, I've had it. I got a decision for me. They're studying every day, taking tests, all this stuff, getting up in the morning. Then they go get a job, and they got to get up every morning. Find out what it's like. Then others go into their junior year. And I always feel for those who drop in their senior year, and I've known those, both college and postgraduate work, seminary. They drop out. But what they're looking at is, okay, this person at least has the endurance to do that. They stuck with something. So what we're talking about is this endurance factor of time. Can you? Yes. Will you? Well, that's a great issue. Will you continue to trust in the midst of the adversity? Look at Romans chapter 5 with me a moment, please. Romans 5, verse 3. What's going to happen at Spring Valley Bible Church in the new year? Well, I don't know. Of course, no one does. But what my plans are, I'm very serious. James and I are just going to meet one afternoon or one evening and pick out a book, and we're going to go through the book. I'm not going to be able to spend all the hours in the original text and prepare for you, but we're going to start going through a lot of books in the Bible, and I want to do that, and we're going to be studying stress and anxiety and depression, being who you are in Christ. But look with me at Romans chapter 5, verse 3. Romans 5, 3. Now, stay with me. Romans 5. What's Romans 5? Romans 5 is the break chapter. It breaks from chapters 1 through 4. Chapters 1 through 4 primarily dealing with the unbeliever. Primarily getting the person to become a born-again believer in Christ. Therefore, verse 1, just to show you where we are, so you understand the believer. Therefore, having been justified by faith. Okay, chapters 1 through 4 getting us to that point. Now we're there. We're justified by faith. Let's just read. We have peace with God, all right? We have peace with God because of the cross work of Christ. We're now in harmony with God. We're not an enemy of God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So having been justified, how are we justified? By faith. We have peace with God. We're no longer an enemy of God through the Lord Jesus Christ. That's why he came, first ending. Through whom also we have obtained our introduction, that's our introduction, by means of faith, into this grace in which we stand. And we're going to live by that same grace. And we exalt in hope of the glory of God. Now verse 3, our study. And not only this. That's great. But not only this. We also, believers now, exalt, are you ready? In our tribulations. James says, count it joy. Paul says, we exalt in our tribulations. People, that's hard. That's tough. I'm not standing up here preaching to you abstractly. It's tough to exalt in tribulation. Your life isn't what you want it to be. Things aren't the way you want them to be. Your marriage, your health, your finance, all these types of things that come into our lives, they're not the way I want them to be. That's tribulation. My sin, my weakness, people, my family, my own husband, my own wife. On and on and on. Tribulation. But not only this, but we also exalt in our tribulations, plural. What did James say? Diverse. Paul uses the word tribulations, plural. Knowing, James talked about knowing. Got it all joy. Knowing that the approval of your faith works endurance. That's what Paul says. Knowing that tribulation brings about perseverance. See that word, perseverance? That's our same word, hypomone. Perseverance. Perseverance. So that's very important. Tribulation brings about perseverance. Now, Paul is assuming, when he says that you're going to continue to walk by faith. Because if you do not walk by faith, it will not bring about perseverance. But if we will continue to walk by faith, it will bring about perseverance. That's the objective that we're looking for here. And you're not going to like this. We've already heard it, but you're not going to like it. This is not the good part, and that's the part. Time. Suffering plus time. Tribulations. Time, endurance. This is at the heart, when you have the word endurance, at the heart of that word is time. How long? How long, Lord, is this going to go on? Take me out of here. Take me home. How many people reach that point of prayer? Joe did. Look, I just want to die and go home. Well, yeah, we all would. That's a Jesus way out, chicken way out. And you lose. You don't get to see what he's going to do. But Job wanted it. Curse the day I was born, Job said. Didn't want to be born. Okay, so we studied how long, oh Lord. How many of you are ready for God's side? That's our side. We understand that. How long is this going to go on? Okay, look at Psalm 6. Let's see what God has to say. I like this. I'm glad we got it in one lesson, both. Our side and now God's side. We're crying, moaning, and bellyaching. How long, oh Lord, is this going to go on in my life? How long this suffering? All right, let's look at Psalm chapter 6. Look with me at verse 3. Psalm 6, verse 3 is our cry. It's our cry. Oh, my soul is greatly dismayed, but thou, O Lord, how long? There's our cry. Look at chapter 13. I want you to get this in beautiful, beautiful form. Chapter 13, our cry. Chapter 13, how long, O Lord, wilt thou forget me forever? Seems like forever. I love it. Forever. That's a big word. I like all the old country western songs. You said you'd love me forever. Well, forever isn't very long because you already married somebody else. Yeah? How long is forever? So we go through, well, it's going to be this way forever. Well, that's the way we like to think. How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? Now, I want to tell you something. How long is this suffering going to go on? I want to tell you what God has to say about that. Look at Numbers. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers. Look at Numbers. This applies to all of us. Numbers chapter 14. Say, now y'all, you have them, I'll cry. Everybody has that? You understand that when we can relate to that. How long is this going to go on? How long am I not going to get my dream? How long is this financial adversity going to continue? How long is this health situation going to continue? How long is my marriage situation or my life situation, my family situation? How long is all this going to go on? We got that down. Okay, here's what God has to say to you. Chapter 14, verse 11. And the Lord said, okay, now here's God speaking. How long, oh, God's saying it now. This is fun. How long will this people spurn me? What does that mean? How long will they not believe in me? How long will we not trust him? When you feel yourself crying out, how long, O Lord? I want you to hear God saying, well, how long are you going to trust me? How long is it going to be before you start testing me? How long are you going to walk with me? People with the heart of what this is partly all about. Do you believe in God? What's your view of God? Do you believe in eternity? What's your view of eternity? Is it all just now? Is this what it's all about? And therefore, if I don't have it now, in this lifetime, that it's all over? Or do I firmly believe, truly believe, to the point that it makes an impact in my life, I do believe in God. I do believe in eternity. I do believe what God is going to do in eternity. And I believe that my life right now has an impact on my eternity. Therefore, because of what I cannot see, I'm going to endure this by trusting him. This is what God is looking for, which you just read. So let's read it again. Numbers chapter 14, verse 11. The Lord said, how long will this people spurn me? How long will they not trust me? Despite all the signs which I have performed in their midst, let you and I put that into our perspective after the cross. In spite of what he did for me at the cross. In spite of giving you the Holy Spirit. In spite of giving you some 36 things, Lewis Ferry Chaper has come up, some 36 things that you received at the point of salvation. After all I've given you, and you won't trust me. How long is it going to be for you? See, we like to hear from our standpoint, how long, God? Well, remember, God has this, how long? For you that are parents. How long am I going to have to go through this? How long am I going to have to study? How long am I, you know, how long is it going to be before you start studying? You haven't started yet. You're complaining, but you haven't done anything yet. You've just been sitting here fighting it. So it's that kind of deal, and we want to hear it from God's perspective. Since you're in chapter 14, look at verse 27. God speaking. How long shall I hear with this evil congregation? God saying it. See, we like to hear me saying how long, but God's got a how long too. And that's a powerful one. Children have a how long, but parents have how long also. How long are you going to fight me? How long are you going to keep doing this to me? How long are you going to keep fighting me? You know, if you just calm down and do this work, it'd be over. But you won't. You're just fighting. So the kid's saying how long. The parent's saying how long. You and I are saying how long. God is saying how long. How long is it going to be before you just keep testing me? How long shall I here bear with this congregation? Look what they're doing. Grumbling against me. Because of the circumstances. I have heard the complaints, the grumble, the complaints of the sons of Israel, which they are making against me. Come back to God, what he's doing there. One more. Joshua. I don't know where the time went. This is just, I don't know. Joshua, chapter 18. We live by the clock. I would have loved to have been born and lived before the clock was ever invented. Then you didn't have to worry about it. If you don't have enough to think about in your spiritual life, answer me this one. When they did invent the clock, how did they know what time to set it? Okay. Joshua chapter 18, verse 3. Joshua 18, verse 3. And so Joshua said to the sons of Israel, how long will you put off entering to take possession of the land which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you? Now, if we were here, we'd have to spend almost a month on this verse. That's how powerful this verse is. I'm going to spend a minute. Joshua said to the sons of Israel, how long? There's our word cry. How long will you put off entering to take possession of the land? Okay, what is that for you and for me? You and I do not have any promise of any land. Nobody here has promised any land. Nobody here. None of you have promised any kind of land in the church. God has promised you some land. But we do have this. We do have a promise. And that promise is what? That hope that Paul talks about, that we will be transformed into the image of Christ. That hope of righteousness, that hope of love, that hope of being in the image of Christ. That's our entering the land. That's our possession. That's the analogy of their land and ours. Theirs is the Abrahamic covenant dealing with land. Ours is what? A spiritual covenant, the new covenant. And so you and I have something to take possession of. It's yours, people. Being in the image of the Son of God, that's God, because Christ is the image of God. Being in the image of God is your possession. Take it. Galatians chapter 3. Did I give so much in vain? If indeed in vain, what did he give us? The Holy Spirit. How could it be in vain? You don't use it. Silly example, but since we're all money conscious in this society, I've deposited in your bank account $10 million. When are you going to start taking possession of it? When are you going to go get it? You're working, you're crying about your bills, you're doing this, you're doing that. Why don't you take possession of what's yours? It's yours. Go down to the bank and get it. This is yours. The possession is yours. How do we take it? By faith. What's beautiful about this, a little hidden, if you read it correctly, look at this. We're not going any further, so we'll have fun here and close. How long will you put off entering to take possession of the land for you and I? That's our spiritual possessions in Christ, which the Lord, the God of your fathers, has given you. People, do you see any condition there? You've got to obey the law, do the law, keep all the law, and I'll give you the land. No, I give it to you. It's yours. This is what people that study the Bible, I'm talking about preachers and theologians, miss it. The law was never, ever, ever intended to be lived by. Never. He gave it to them in the Abrahamic covenant. It's yours. I would have loved it if just one out of millions of Jews, just one little guy or one little girl would have raised their hand. And you said, why do I have to do the law? God said I could have it. Now, if it had been Moses, he would have said, you're right, go get it. If it had been Caleb, he would have said, you're right, go take it. Well, that's Caleb and Joshua. They understood this. It is not conditional. It's yours. Go get it. Trust God. If you do it by the law, or I'll give you the land. If you do and do, keep the whole law. If you keep the whole law, I'll give you the land. I'll give it to you. That's what it sounds like, and that's what so many preachers see. It's not there. That's not what he's saying. It's free. It's by grace. Go take it. Forget the law. Just take it. Take what's yours. And we can understand that in that concrete thing of here's a people, here's a land, but take the land. Now let's get in the spiritual realm. Here you are, here's the image of Christ, that's the image of God. Take it. It's yours. How do you take it? Just walk by faith. Just trusting. But we get so burdened down with all these passages that seem to say, do and do, do and do. He's given it to you, people. Go take it. He's given you. Let me tell you something. He has given you. Let me say, first of all, start with what he has not given you. God has not given you a life, and he has not promised you or given you a life without testing, suffering, adversity, pain, failure, all these things. God has not given you that. But you know what he has given you? Joy. Peace. Contentment. He's given you all those things. We didn't get there. Only God really knows why, but we should have covered the source of endurance, and I'm going to tell you right now, you know what the source of endurance is? I'll break all the balloon of where we're coming. I'll show you some passages. The source of endurance is from God. You don't even have to generate endurance, people. You don't even have to generate endurance. It's from God. He'll give it to you. That's what he's promised you. So, in the midst of whatever you've dealt in life, we like to use that as plain expression, whatever you've dealt in life, God hasn't promised you differently. God never promised anybody a marriage without divorce. God has never promised anybody a body without disease. God has not promised you a life without financial need. God has not promised you that all your children would be little Lord Fauntleroy. God never promised you that. God never promised you that your kid wouldn't give you more trouble than you ever dreamed. God never promised you to give you a faithful husband or a faithful wife. God never promised you any of those things, people. Let me tell you what he did promise you. And what is yours? That in the midst of all of this tangled and messed up world, you can have inner happiness, inner peace, inner joy, contentment, wisdom, strength, power, in the midst of anything that's dealt to you. That he did. You just got to go take it. How long will you not take what I've given you? How long? And you know what, people? Christians will fight it for their whole life. Just taking what's free. Here's what happens. They'll fight to have it, but they want it their way. If I don't have this problem, do you see what God is doing? If I don't have this problem, I will have that happiness and that joy and that peace. If I have my little white house with the white fence and the roses growing on it and two lovely little children and everything's wonderful, I'll have that joy and that peace. You're kidding yourself. You're kidding yourself. But you know what? The Christians spend their whole life. I know what will bring me this happiness and this joy and this peace. If I will do this and this and this and this, and they work and they work and they work, well, what comes out of heaven? It's yours. It's free. I mean, it is yours. It is your possession. Take it. How long will you wait? How long will you keep trying to figure it out? I've got to do this and this and this. I'm not going to really be happy until. Then fine, you called your own shot. People, I'm not up here some self-righteous preacher. My God, I'm not going to be happy until at least have 200 people in church. Is that going to make me happy? Till we have some big recognition? Then I'm a sucker. I'm a fool. That's not what happiness is. You're going to have happiness, people. We're all going to have happiness when we decide, I'm taking it. I have no right to it. The best lines getting into the season, the best lines in Dickens' Christmas story, the best line is when Ebenezer Scrooge wakes up in the morning and looks at all this stuff, and he's counting and he's getting money and doing all this stuff, and he just leans back like this, I have no right to being so happy. And that's that. We just have no right to be so happy. I do not have the right to be happy in this circumstances of my life, the way things are going. With my body, my finances, my life, my marriage, my dreams, my hopes, my age, my whatever. And yet, there's a happiness, there's a peace, there's a joy, and I can have it right now. That's what God is trying to tell us, people. Take what is yours, get your eyes off of the suffering, off of the circumstances, and on what it's about. Because the removal of those things are not going to make you happy. I know you think they are. I know that. And that's why Christians keep working for what's free. That's why Christians keep being miserable and will never get there. Until one day you just decide, I think I'll give God a shot. I think I'm going to try. And you've got to do it longer than 30 minutes. Okay, God, you've got 30 minutes to show me. I just walk by faith, trusting. And then start enjoying what God does bring into your life. It's of God. If it's of God, God brings into your life. You start enjoying that. Suffering, adversity, anxiety, all these things are causing these things. It goes on today. Once you grab hold of the secret, you got it. And the secret is not changing your circumstances. The secret is your faith. Taking what is already yours. There isn't a person in this room, there isn't a person too young not to understand what I'm talking about, that Israel, there's your land, go take it. You can see it visually. I want you to see it spiritually. The happiness that you want, the joy that you want, the peace that you want, there it is. Go get it. Go take it. It's not dependent on circumstances. Why didn't they go take it? The strongholds. Oh, look at those forces over there. Look at those cities over there. Look at those giants over there. Look at all of this stuff. We can't take it. Look at my life. Look at my circumstances. Yeah, it's really good for you standing up there preaching like that. You're not the one that has cancer. You're not the one hurting financially. You're not the one hurting in your marriage. You're not the one. No, people, it's not those things. I'm sorry. I have my battles just like you do. And it's not those things. What God wants to show you is in the midst of that, this is what I promised them. So the suffering of birth is just to find out, will you take what's yours? It's already yours. It's paid in full. It's given to you freely. If you just take possession of it. That's why adversity, suffering, endurance. The endurance of your joy, happiness, peace, all those things we want, not depending on circumstances. And not depending on others. So many people,
so miserable because they depend on others for their happiness, their peace, joy. It's not dependent on others. That's why we can enjoy each other. When your joy comes in the midst of suffering and adversity from the Holy Spirit, you know what? You can really enjoy somebody now. You don't need them. You can enjoy them. Husband, wife, children, family, friends, romance, whatever. You can enjoy them. You don't need them. You have your relationship with him. Let's go to more of that. What an awesome God you are, Heavenly Father. If we will be silent and hear you ask, how long? Instead of us doing the talking, the crying, and the screaming, if we're set up long enough to listen to you, how long before we're just walk by faith? How long before we'll trust you? How long before we'll take the happiness that you've given us, the joy, the love? Not depending on circumstances of the cosmic world, but depending upon our relationship with you, our fellowship with you, your spirit. Father, we praise you for the journey you've taken us on this morning, revealing to us ourselves and revealing to us yourself. Father, I pray that we will just continue each day learning to walk by this faith, taking hold of what is already ours, taking possession of it. We praise you, Father, in your Son's precious name. Amen.